I'd like to ask the question, how many of you here today have read through the New Testament the whole way? Can I see your hand? Good. How many have read through the whole Bible from beginning to end? Can I see your hand? Good. There's something that happens when you read the whole way through. I remember the first time that I got all the way through the Bible, and it's like the overview of the perspective of the Word of God and will of God changed. Wasn't the same anymore. Now, in order to read through the whole Bible, you can do that with 3 1/4 chapters a day and do it in 1 year. And that'll take you about 15 minutes, somewhere in that range, on the average. It will take about 15 minutes. Now, does that sound hard? I wonder how many of us can read a newspaper for 15 minutes. I mean, honestly. I know the Bible's not a storybook, but we read storybooks for hours. If we would take 30 minutes a day, we could read about 6.5 chapters a day and get through the Bible twice in 1 year. Twice in 1 year. 45 minutes, we'll do it 3 times. And 1 hour a day will get you through the Bible in 3 months. 3 months! Whoa! That sounds like a feast! It is! It is! And you're a young person. I remember being young and reading 20 chapters a day because I loved it. That jumps you up to several months. About 2 months, you're through the whole Bible. It's a feast. Something I haven't talked about yet is when you're young, you have time. You do not have responsibility. And you have time. You have energy. And yes, I agree, we have to have some rest. But when you're young, you probably need less than you will later on. That's my testimony. I've had to step back just a little bit. I wasn't going to, but I got plopped down one day and I said, okay, I'll slow down just a little bit. You have time. You don't have responsibility. And I'd like to just persuade you right now, if you think you don't have time for this kind of thing in your youth, you never will. You never will. It will never get easier. That's why it's so important to, in our youth, to set up a standard for Bible reading. And prayer and lordship. All right, let's look at the New Testament. Reading 3 chapters a day will get us through the New Testament in 3 months. Again, barely 15 minutes a day. And we can get through the New Testament in 3 months. Now, is that hard? Surely not. And actually, all you have to do is add a little over a chapter a day to it, and you can do it in 2 months. And I know you can do that because I still do that. In the midst of all the things going on, it's a matter of what we make a priority in our lives. And if you double that to about 8.5 chapters a day, you can read through the New Testament one time every month. And my friend, if you do that for a year, the New Testament would take on brand new meaning. I mean, light bulbs would be going off everywhere. Look at all these treasures. And all of a sudden you remember something in this book over here, and I'm reading about it over here, and you're connecting things back and forth, and the further you go, the better it gets. The better it gets. Another one that I would recommend to you is taking a book in the Bible and reading that book through every day for a whole month. The first week, you might feel like I'm having my nose to the grindstone. Well, can I tell you, would you believe me if I told you, that's good. That's good. We do that at work. Why not do it for Jesus? But then after that, all of a sudden, the beginning of the book and the end of the book and the middle of the book all become a flowing connection of what was on the heart of the writer. And it just starts opening up and the flowers start blooming. And as you dig deeper, all of a sudden one day this certain verse just comes alive right off of the page. And you see way down into the gold mine. But it takes effort. It takes continual effort. It takes constructive Bible reading that stays at it and keeps laying those four brick a day. Now I have it scheduled out here to give you an idea. A 2-year plan that you could go through the whole New Testament that way. There are some of them that are sort of small, and there's others that are sort of big. And I don't know what time you have and when you have it. One of the things I would recommend is if you see a slot where you have, know you have good time, do a bigger one. Do a bigger one. And you might want to shuffle some things around a little bit. This is a suggestion, an idea. But dig in there. And make it go. Another thing you can do while you're doing that, take 3x5 cards, write the chapter on top. This says Matthew chapter 13. And just make an outline of what's in the chapter. Matthew chapter 13 has the sower, the tares, the mustard seed, leaven, the tares again, which is an answer to the first one, hidden treasure, the goodly pearl, sorting good and bad fish, and a prophet is without honor in his own country. And then memorize the card. I don't know if you have it happening to you or not. The preacher gets up and gives the reference and you know what it says. I'm here to tell you, you can have that. You can have that. Oh, I know what he's going to read. I can just about imagine what he's going to focus on in those verses. Oh, you can have that. Another thing you can do, it might make it easier if you color code it a little bit. This is Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 through 50. You could put the verse count on, give you a reference, how many verses are on there. And then just simply alternate or whatever you choose, I'm just giving ideas. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Withered hand healed. Possessed, delivered. Blind and dumb healed. A kingdom divided cannot stand. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. We are judged by our words. No sign but the sign of the prophet Jonah given. Unclean spirit returns with 7 other spirits. Who is Jesus' mother, brother, and sister? Wow. Riches. Riches. Instead of just thinking Matthew chapter 12, dung, you could think Matthew chapter 12. Oh! Down the line it goes. And that can be for the whole Bible. Another thing is meditating and chewing one piece at a time. Taking a verse or two and just letting your mind focus on it and lay it before God. Lord, what are you saying here? There seems to be something here. What are you saying, Lord? and meditate on it. Chew it. You can do word studies. I have a Strong's up here and I have a Vine's up here. I'm going to not go through it today, how to use them, but I'm going to have them here for when, afterwards, if you want to look at them and if you want to learn how to use them, I have them here today. But looking up words and seeing definitions, what did it mean? What does it mean? And digging a little deeper. Another one I have here today that some of you or many of you might have seen is the Noah Webster 1828 Dictionary. I have one of them here if you'd want to look at them. We're going to leave that for afterwards. If you want to look at them, you're welcome to do that. But taking in-depth studies of the Word. And now, looking deeper, beyond the surface, beyond what you read, beyond just the simple things that are on top. Go for the gold. Go for the deeper things that are hidden below the surface. I'm not sure if this is right yet. Anyway, let's go on. Verse by verse, digging into the Word of God. Going to the next page. Cross-referencing and marking texts and verses. As you read through your Bible and you find things that are special, mark the verses or the phrases that are special to you. Mark them. I don't know if you've heard someone or not, you might have done it, where they're looking for something in the Bible and someone hands them a Bible that is not their own. I can't find it in yours. I need mine. You've probably said that. Some of you have, I'm sure. Because you know where it is, you know how you marked it. I have something that I brought here today. How many of you remember this? I cheered when I saw this. But I'll be honest with you, this does not mean to me what it means to somebody else. Because it's not mine. But as I look at this page, there are some things that jump right off of it immediately. And I see a system. Somebody had something in mind as they were doing this, and they marked it a specific way, and at a glance, that page becomes alive. I have news for you. Your Bible can look that way. Your Bible can look that way. But I can't sit there and just read through the Bible. Oh. Where was I going? Read away. Whew, having a struggle this morning. And keep plodding on. You can't do that. I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading the Word of God. In 1 John, or St. John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. If we turn to Revelation 19:13, it says His name was the Word of God. And it's taking Jesus and connecting Him right with the Word. If Jesus was sitting there having devotion with this young person, would we nod off? Oh, by the way, what were you saying? No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't. We'd be paying attention. What did He say? How is He saying that? I wonder what He meant. We'd be taking special note. And as we take special note of what He's saying, we need to go ahead and just start a system of marking things that mean something to me. I'd like to give you some suggestions on some of that. One of the first ones that people often think about is highlighting markers. This is one of the first ones I use. I don't use them anymore, and I'll tell you why. Bible pages are thin, and they bleed through, and it'll make sort of a mess out of your Bible. So first thing I'd like to tell you is I wouldn't recommend these, but why did I need five of them? Color coding. Different things go in different places. I would recommend something like this. And again, there are different ones. This is the Prismacolor, which is a softer than the Crayola. The Crayola is same as your colors, but they've got a pencil like this, but it's a harder pencil. This is a softer pencil, and it marks very nice and friendly and smoothly. And with a thin page in the Bible, it's a very good thing to use. Just lightly coat it over, and it will not bleed through and do something funny in your Bible. In fact, you can underline with it, or you can color over with it. And I know one of the questions many of you are asking is, where do you find such a thing? Well, locally here, I got this just yesterday from Ken's Joys. And if you go on out the road, Conestoga Bookstore has them too. And that's 322 East from here. Just on the other side of Hingletown is where the first one is. But there again, you can take different color codes. I'll give you one. I use orange for judgment. Why do you think orange would be judgment? Fire. Fire. Automatically just lights up judgment. Sin, I underline in orange. Judgment gets highlighted in orange. Redemption is red. That's right. Redemption is red because Jesus shed His blood. And I'm not here to tell you what to do, but it automatically means something to me when I see a verse that is highlighted in red. Works of righteousness, underlined in red. But really, this system has things in it I don't have in mine. And my heart would be that each one of us would go get a system of marking our Bibles that means something to me. We can learn from each other, but make it personal. Make it personal. Another one that I would give you for markers, there's these fine point markers that gospel bookstores usually have that you can use for underlining that do not have the bleeding through effect, and you don't have to press as hard as a regular pen. I don't know if you've noticed on a thin page of a Bible, if you take a pen and make a hard line, you can see it very well on the other side. And if you're not careful, you can cut right through the page. So I would recommend these to you as well. And all of a sudden, our Bible can just become more and more and more alive. Memorize verses that are special, have special meanings, chapters with basic doctrines, or that mean something to you, or whole books. Remember, you're young. You have all kinds of time. And you can come get me for saying that if you want to afterwards, but I'm telling you, you have time. You have time. Use it. Apply it the best you can. Another one is listening to tapes or CDs of the Bible. Eye perception and ear perception sometimes vary in what you hear or see. Has a little different effect on you. And even as you're reading through the Bible, if you're listening to it at the same time, it itself can be a blessing. Just for comprehension's sake, you're struggling with pronunciations, it'll help you with those pronunciations. Or you can listen to the Bible while you're driving, while you're working, maybe while you're going to sleep. And you add to it. Writing a devotional journal. Many people do that. And I encourage that. Write down what God is doing in your heart. Sometimes just writing it down makes it stick better. Makes it stick better. Could be just a few lines a day. Changing off, flexibility. It's important to not burn ourselves out just doing the same thing on and on and on. I need some flexibility, and I'll change off at times what I'm doing. And most people need that. Some people need it more than others. But allow yourself to change off. And if you have a month that just stretched you to your end on time, adjust a little bit the next month so you don't burn out physically trying to get your tasks done. We are real people. There have been times, instead of having a rigorous schedule, that I just allowed myself to flow a while and then go back in the pool. Not relaxing to the point where here we go through life. No. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about aimless survival Bible reading. And reading without a purpose or a goal. I'm just reading because, after all, I need to read the Bible. Lord, feed me for today. I need something. And I know there's been times when it's been important when someone prayed, God, show me a verse, and where my eyes fall, that's where I read. There might be some times we need to do that, but I would like to plead with you, that is not a constructive Bible reading diet. It's just sort of aimlessly hitting around. And I'm not going to say God doesn't speak to people that way, but if that's what we always do, it's not going to come out right. We'll never get anywhere. We'll just sort of flounder around. Now, we were talking about reading through the Bible in 1 year. And if we read 3 1/4 chapters a day, we can read through the whole Bible in 1 year. Well, if we read 1 chapter a day, we can read through the Bible in 3 years and 3 months. That sound exciting? Sounds like the air is sort of out of the tire, doesn't it? And the worst part of it is to consistently keep reading 1 chapter a day for 3 years and 3 months, you're probably not going to get it done. We're just too human to be that relaxed about digging in and seeking after God. We're too human for that. Remember, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. In John chapter 7, verse 38, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of. And I'm here to say you can have that. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now when we look at a rich man, we think of what? Come on. Money. Lots of money. When we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, we think of what? Lots of Bible. Right? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And if this book is alive and burning in us and we have it comprehended in our hearts, when a trial and temptation come, it becomes the sword that defends our life. So our livelihood in Jesus depends on constructive Bible reading. It's a purifier, Ephesians 5, verse 26 and 27, that He might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, let the Word wash us. And as we keep burying ourselves in it from day to day, portions will keep opening up that mean something to me and change my life. And we need that. We need that. 1 John chapter 2. I'd like to read a few verses there. 1 John chapter 2, going to start reading in verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. And He keeps talking about knowing Him. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you. And ye have overcome the wicked one. And what we see here is a focus on a relationship with the God of heaven and the Word of God abiding in them. And that's what we need. We need that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a vibrant relationship. And then let the Word of Christ richly dwell in us, and it'll abide in us and become that thing that causes us to overcome the world. I'd like to give you an account yet of William Carey. How many of you have heard of William Carey? Good. He was a missionary. He said, "I can plod. Undoubtedly, the world owes a great deal to men of genius, but it is doubtful whether it owes as much to such as to men of dogged perseverance. Perseverance is needed in every phase of the Christian life. Nothing is obtained in the spiritual realm by a hop, skip, and a jump, so to speak. We don't get anywhere that way." When William Carey began thinking of going to India as a pioneer missionary, his father pointed out to him that he possessed no academic qualifications that would fit him for such a task. "Son, you don't have what you need." But William Carey answered, "I can plod. I can plod. Those who accomplish things for the glory of God and the good of humanity are plodders. Plodders that are willing to lay 4 brick a day and keep laying another 4 brick a day and keep laying another 4 brick a day." And he indeed was a pioneer missionary that went out and accomplished things for God that others had not ventured into. Well, I trust you'll take this home, and in a year from now, you won't be the same anymore. If you do, you won't be. I guarantee it to you. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Seek Him like an enduring prayer warrior, and read your Bible constructively every day. God bless you.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.